Chapter 9. "Go get the others," I ordered Aliona, before I rushed after the shadow. The princess turned and swam out of the gym toward the rest of our search party as I hunted down the intruder. I whipped around the corner where he disappeared, and I found a short hallway into a dark room. There were no more windows to let in the light, and I held my fireball out in front of me as I sent out a wave of echolocation to find the bastard. The magic erupted out from my body in a powerful wave that bounced around the room, and it gave me a mental replica of everything before me. As the sound wave returned to me, I could see the intruder was hidden behind a stack of boxes just inside the doorway to my right. I slid the sword of Hatra out from my belt and held it in my other hand. Then I positioned myself just inside the doorway, kicked off the frame to body slam the stack of boxes on top of him, and quickly rolled to the side as the boxes crashed onto the hidden prowler. "Ugh!" the man grunted, and then let out an angry war cry. He wriggled out from under the boxes, and before me floated a merman, but he didn't look like the others. He was thin and wiry, and his fin was covered in dull black scales. His skin was the color of the sand outside, almost like he was an albino compared to the other merpeople, and his head was completely bald. His wild blue eyes darted around the room before he flicked his tail and sailed toward me with his hands outstretched. I couldn't tell if he planned to grab or scratch or what, but I wasn't about to let him get those bony hands on me. I dodged his first strike and swung awkwardly with my sword. I still wasn't quite used to fighting underwater, and somehow I wasn't expecting a merman to be the culprit behind the rift. My blade grazed the tail end of his fin, and a few droplets of blood spurted into the water behind him. He howled with frustration before he flipped around to face me again.
"You have no idea what I could do to you, dragon," the merman hissed.
"And you have no idea what I will do to you for hurting my people," I growled, and focused on my water magic to propel me at the merman with force. I stabbed the blade at his belly, but the tip stopped just shy of penetrating his skin. I looked down at the sword in confusion as he grinned and snapped his fingers, and in a flash, I was flying across the room and slammed into a sandstone wall with a thud. The feeling of having the air knocked out of my lungs filled my mind, but I couldn't get air down here. I suddenly felt like I was going to suffocate, and I tried to take short gasps to breathe, but nothing came in. My vision turned spotty, and I nearly passed out from the feeling of asphyxiation. I had to be smart to resolve this, so I slowed my racing thoughts and focused on the magic that allowed me to breathe underwater. As my body relaxed, the water refilled my lungs, and I took a gulp of the cool liquid. Then I gasped over and over until my lungs felt normal again.
"Landwalkers," the merman chuckled. "You always stand out down here, even if it weren't for your lungs."
"Let's fight on land, then," I snarled. "You'd never win that battle, and you know it."
"Yet here you are, challenging me in my own element," he retorted. "How arrogant can one dragon be?"
"I'm just confident," I shot back as I stood, conjured a fireball in my hand, and threw it across the room. The merman dove out of its path, but the fiery orb nicked the tip of his tail, and the scaly flesh burned almost immediately from the heat. It didn't slough away like that of the corrupted fish, but it seemed his scales didn't agree with fire as tendrils of smoke curled away from his fin. Then my opponent grunted angrily and created a water orb that he pushed toward me with his palms outstretched. The water ball sailed toward me, but I quickly deflected it with a liquid barrier. The two magic water creations burst upon their connection, and the mage looked at me with surprise written all over his face. Before he could react, I conjured a fiery bow and arrow and aimed the arrow for his head. I didn't want to kill him without knowing where the rift was, but he was obviously a hazardous mage to keep around. I had to take care of as many risks as possible, even if it meant continuing our search for the rift.
"Your fire magic is impressive," the merman chuckled, "but it is no match for the power of the fisherman."
"The fisherman?" I echoed, and lost my focus just long enough for him to cast a quick spell. A funnel formed in the water between us like a hurricane that barreled toward me so fast I had to push off the wall to dive out of its path. The funnel tore through the wall and left a gaping hole to the outside of the domed building before it continued to destroy everything in its path. I worried it would hurt some of the merpeople out in the city, but I had to focus on the fisherman for now. He could create hundreds of the funnels in the time it took me to go take care of that one. And who knows what else he could do.
"Ha ha! You've heard of me, then!" he laughed and took a sarcastic bow. "I'm glad to know my reputation precedes me."
"Well, I didn't hear about your magic, but Cairo sure had a lot to say before he died. You, N, and a few others in the sect have a lot going on here. It's pretty interesting, really. Too bad he won't make it here to meet with you."
"You killed Cairo?" the merman asked with wide eyes.
"I didn't have to. I captured him, and that's usually enough for one of your little tattoos to take effect. I would have hanged him either way, but the tattoo death just looked so painful, I wouldn't want to take that away. He more than deserved what he got." The fisherman's mouth dropped open in surprise, and I took advantage to launch my fiery arrow. I used my target precision to aim the arrow for his lower body instead of the kill shot, and it flung across the space between us and plunged into the meat of his fin where his thigh would be. The black scales around the wound began to seep with his blood, and a red cloud soon appeared in the water.
"How?"
he groaned as he tugged at the fiery projectile and burned his fingers with a yelp.
"They have a protection spell!"
"It doesn't matter when I have the power of the bow of Wellston," I chuckled. "I can use it on anyone, though I heard you wanted that too. Too bad I beat your dumb little bandits to the relics. Now, what are you doing here?"
"You think I'll just tell you everything after one little arrow?"
the fisherman scoffed, and yanked the projectile out from his fin with a grunt.
"I've survived more battles than the years you've been alive, young dragon. It will take more than that to stop me."
He clapped his hands together in front of him, and a shockwave slammed into my body like a tidal wave. I flew backward and crashed into another stack of boxes, and the plastic-looking box materials tipped over and crashed to the floor on top of me as rage quickly warmed my body.
"Okay, you little bastard," I grunted, and shoved the boxes out of my way. "I won't go down with some pushes and shoves."
"Oh, I know. Unless I shove you into this."
The fisherman swirled his finger around in the water next to him, and suddenly the feeling of great magic overwhelmed me as he revealed a portal. The doorway to the underworld glowed red with moving swirls of black glancing back and forth across the opening. The screams and howls of the demons on the other side echoed through the chamber, and I had to send a layer of healing magic to my ears to dampen the sounds.
"I'm not going anywhere near that thing!" I shouted above the cacophony of noise. "You'll have to kill me first!"
"I don't mind that arrangement," the merman chuckled.
Then the fisherman clenched his fist, and the water wrapped around me like a hand that squeezed my torso tightly. I could feel my ribs breaking under the water's cold fingers, and I knew my automatic healing wouldn't kick in until the injury stopped, so I had to get out of this thing. My first instinct was to punch the watery vice, but my fist sailed through the invisible grip. I had this same magic, so I knew it couldn't be physically affected like that, and I realized I needed to redirect the power. The merman used the watery binding to pull me closer to the spinning portal, and I closed my eyes to focus on the water magic around me. I called on the power of the sea to release the fisherman's hold on me, and I could feel it answer my call as the binding loosened slightly.
"Rana, if you're really a goddess of the sea, you need to get me out of this," I sent up a little prayer. "If you thought those several dozen fish were bad today, you won't like how the rest of the ocean looks if these knuckleheads get away."
The water wrap weakened again, and I could nearly pull my hands free of the watery grip.
"Come on," I growled at the ocean. "Let's get this bastard together."
It was like Rana herself had felt my distaste for the fisherman, and the grip around my torso eased completely. It felt as though I'd just stepped out of a hot tub, as the warm, spelled water drifted away and the cool ocean water took up permanent residence again.
"How did you?"
the fisherman asked as his face lit up with bewilderment. Then I turned the tables. I called on the sea to grab the fisherman and plant his body against the wall of the room with a thump.
His wiry frame was plastered to the wall above me, and I swam up closer and eyed him carefully. The fisherman looked younger than I'd expected, though I imagined he was older than he looked. A scowl marred his otherwise handsome face, and he glared back into my eyes with disgust. "You know who I am?" I asked.
"We all do," he muttered. "The great dragon, here to save us all. Let's have a party."
"And yet, here we are," I chuckled. "Why did you open a portal?"
"To get rid of you. We don't want you here. The sage says you don't even belong here."
Did Olivier somehow know I was from Earth? I didn't remember ever discussing it with him. "Well, I'm here now," I shrugged, "and I need to know where the rift is."
"If you haven't already found it, you're too late. Our plans are in motion."
"Not for long," I snarled, and conjured another fireball into my hand. I lifted the fire orb with the intention of smashing it into his snide face, when I heard the sound of several bodies pushing through the water behind me, and I spun around ready to fire my projectile at the newest attacker when I recognized a voice.
"Lord Heaven!"
Aliona called out from around the corner.
"With the flight of wind,"
the fisherman suddenly muttered, and I turned back just as he grinned and somehow slipped out from under the binding. Then he slithered out the opening in the wall like a slippery eel before I could grab him, and I growled in frustration.
"Huh?
In here," I called out to the princess. Aliona barreled into the room with Naomi, Nike, Phineas, and four of the guards right behind her.
"What happened?"
Nike asked, as he noticed the overturned boxes and giant hole in the wall. "I was fighting the fisherman," I replied with a frown. "He got away, but we can at least close the portal he made."
"What portal?"
Aliona asked and rubbed her chin.
"What?"
I whirled back around to see the spinning portal had disappeared along with the fisherman.
"Oh, fucking hell!"
"So the portal went with him?"
Naomi inquired in confusion.
"Can they move around like that?"
"It depends on the mage,"
Aliona answered.
"It would seem the fisherman had this one tied to his magic, so when he left, so did the portal."
"But where did he go?"
Nike wondered. "Out there." I pointed to the gaping hole in the wall. "Right after he tossed me around the room and sent a water tornado after me. I finally had him pinned, but he cast a spell before I could stop him and disappeared through there."
"So, he could be anywhere," Phineas frowned and sighed. "How will we find him now?"
"I'm not sure," I admitted. "But we won't give up. Now I know what he looks like, and believe me, he'll stand out."
"He's not a merman?"
the Duke asked in surprise. "Oh, he is," I confirmed. "He just looks strange. I'll explain it when we get back to the palace, so we can ask the Duchess if she's seen him either."
"My lord, did you see these?"
Naomi called out from the other end of the room. We swam over to see the lizard mage had found a stack of books and letters tucked into a canvas bag and stuffed into the corner of the room.
"I was a little busy trying to capture him," I chuckled.
"What is it?"
"Most of these books are journals. They date all the way back to 10 years ago.
"Busy little bee," I muttered. "We should look through these and see if they have any information about their future plans. He said it was already in motion."
"While you read those, we're going back to the palace," Phineas announced. "I'm not much for reading, and I need to let Helmy know what's happened. And apparently we need to find someone to repair this wall before the break is over."
"Probably a good idea," I agreed. While the Duke had been mostly helpful since we got here, I'd rather go through the journals without him. If the Duchess was involved in any way, I wanted to find out before him so we could prepare for any possible scenario. Phineas and the guards turned and swam out of the room while the rest of us gathered the journals and letters to look for more information. The journals were filled from cover to cover with the events the merman had already been a part of, and it seemed he'd at least known about most of the issues we'd already had with the Green Glass Sect. He'd written detailed entries about the attacks on Hatra and Tikal, and then he'd written more information about Lumen and Kana. The fisherman had written how angry the sage was when he'd received word that I had all three artifacts in the Celestial Triad, but it seemed some of his information was second-hand. He didn't write about hiring the bandits to steal the relics. Instead, he'd written things like, "the bandits we sent," and "found out they were all dead." Most recently, he'd obviously been hiding out in Pulis, but he hadn't started in the gym.
After reading his more recent entries, it seemed he'd moved here when his previous hideout had become a point of interest for local children to explore. He'd taken advantage of their leave from school and hidden in this building to avoid their prying eyes.
"Hey, look at this," Nike said, as he held out a letter.
The ink and paper had been enchanted to stay dry underwater, and something told me it had something to do with the letters we'd found to Cairo while we were in Atheson.
F. Kay will be making his way to you soon. Tell N to prepare H for his arrival. Should be treated like a special guest of honor. The people will not suspect. O.
The fisherman appeared to be in direct contact with Olivier, and maybe even the middleman for all the deals being made between the Green Glass Sect and the Duchess.
You think H is for Helmy?
Aliona wondered quietly. I'm not sure who else it could mean, I frowned. So she doesn't seem to talk to the fisherman, but she talks to N. That's who was supposed to tell her Cairo was coming here, not the fisherman.
And we still don't know who N is,
Naomi hissed, and her forked tongue poked out from between her lips.
This is incredibly annoying, like we're chasing ghosts.
I agree, but we're at least on the right track, I assured her. If we weren't, the fisherman would have just let me kill him. The sect members prefer to die than be captured, but he was determined to either kill me or get free.
Kill you?
Well, he tried to throw me into the portal, I shrugged. I guess the ocean likes me better because it let me go and held him until he cast the spell to get out.
Interesting, Nike mused. Do you think he's the one who opened the rift?
It wouldn't surprise me, I replied. He seemed to have some pretty strong magic, even though he didn't expect me to have water magic.
Well, here his entry says they need to be more cautious because of you,
Naomi pointed out.
It says, the dragon grows more powerful by the day, yet the sage believes we will be able to win the war with or without the dragon.
With or without? Are they planning to recruit me or something?
They obviously don't know you at all. I don't see you turning to the side of evil.
Well, you never know. I heard it's nice on the dark side.
The dark side of what?
Lyca asked as she breezed into the room with Mariah, Ravi, and the dryads right behind her. Of the Force, obviously. I chuckled at my Star Wars reference. Anyway, we found these journals and letters from the fisherman's secret stash down here. It seems the Duchess has some explaining to do.
We have to be careful how we approach the questions,
Aliona reminded me.
We already suspected her of something, but she can't be the only person in all of Polis whose name starts with an H.
A very valid point, m'lady,
the wolf demihuman agreed.
The last thing we should do is alienate her with our suspicions. She's already been, less than helpful in allowing us to find the rift.
True, I murmured, and then looked around. Where are Aaliyah and Rebecca?
They hadn't checked in at the palace yet,
Ravi answered.
We were waiting for everyone there until the guards said there was something going on here, so we came to see if we could help. They still have another hour until lunch, but we can wait for them at the castle, unless you'd like to keep reading.
I'm all read out, I laughed. But we should take these with us. We might be able to figure out the sect's next steps. Aliona nodded and dumped the journals and letters back into the bag before she slung it over her shoulder. Then we all headed for the door and swam back out into the gym.
Wait,
Ravi said, and we all stopped to look at the phoenix.
If the Duchess is in cahoots with the fisherman or N, that means the Green Glass sect may already know we're here.
She's definitely had several opportunities to warn them, I murmured. If that's the case, who knows what traps they could have waiting for us near the rift.
We'll have to be extremely cautious once we find one, Nike agreed. Even if she didn't warn them, the fisherman could now that he has escaped.
Balls. That's also true, I grunted.
Don't blame yourself. Only a very powerful mage could have opened a portal like that on his own and linked it to his power. I should have stayed to help you.
No, I'm glad you didn't, I insisted. He tossed me around the room like a rag doll for a little bit. I wouldn't have been able to protect you.
And none of us would have been here to help,
Lyca agreed.
It was better that you left to get us. Lord Evan is more than capable of defending himself. Plus, he almost had him on his own anyway.
Because he's a badass dragon lord,
Trina chimed in.
The most badass dragon lord,
Polina corrected her with a grin.
That's basically what the fisherman said, right?
Marina giggled. Basically. Come on, let's get to the castle and meet up with Aaliyah and Rebecca.
Then we'll have some words with the Great Duchess. Nike and my lovers dipped their heads in agreement as we headed for the palace. The path of the fisherman's water tornado was clear, though, and several buildings had been completely destroyed by the whirling funnel. Some people were already outside cleaning up, while others stood looking around in disbelief. Merpeople filled the streets with curiosity as we made our way back to the castle, and our polite waves were met with a few bewildered expressions and even fewer waves back. Tough crowd. We arrived in the courtyard to find all but the two guards who were with Aaliyah and Rebecca gathered in groups discussing their findings. Apparently, one of them discovered his sister had a new boyfriend. But other than that, their searches turned up zilch. At this point, I was pretty sure we were going to have to look outside the gate for the rift, and that would be a grueling task. The ocean was obviously huge, and the only clue we had was the poisoned fish near the lava rock. But once they'd been killed or cured, the miasma smell had disappeared, so it was unlikely the rift was near there. It was more likely someone had released miasma in that area for some reason. Perhaps it was to lure us away from the city while the fishermen prepared to open the portal. Or maybe it was a test to see if we'd take care of it. Either way, I didn't think that was where we'd find the rift. In all reality, it made more sense to open the rift as far from that location as possible, since the immediate conclusion would be to search near it. The twisted games of the Green Glass Sect had me mixed up and frustrated, and all I wanted was to rip the sage to pieces and burn him to ashes. We walked into the castle to find the Duke and Duchess sitting in the front room, as the Duke explained what he knew about the fisherman.
"But he got away from Lord Devon," Phineas said, as we walked into the room.
"You let him escape?"
Helmy shrieked as she whirled on me.
"Why didn't you just kill him?"
"I wanted to know where the rift was," I replied, and narrowed my eyes. "That is the whole point, remember?"
"Of course I remember. But if he was such a dangerous mage, you should have killed him immediately."
"And have a 0% chance of finding the bigger problem? Yeah, I'll remember that for next time. Unless you think he was a bigger problem."
"Well, he opened the portal, didn't he?"
The mermaid leader smirked and crossed her arms. "Yeah, he did. And he tried to throw me into it. But I'm sure any of your guards could have survived that. They can all use water magic, right?"
"No, but..."
She started to argue. "And they can all use fire magic underwater, right?" I pressed.
"Merpeople don't use fire. What a silly argument."
"Well, he didn't like the fire I used on him. So unless your people can figure out how to do those things and kill him without getting killed or thrown into a portal, I suggest you be happy we found what we did."
"And what did you find? A room for him to escape from?"
"No. Journals and letters of the things he's been doing since he arrived," I said, and clenched my jaw as I awaited her response.
"And, have you read them?"
The mermaid stammered as she suddenly went still. "Not all of them," I answered carefully. "Enough to want to ask you a few questions, though."
"What is this?"
Phineas interrupted, and he looked between Helmy and me with a frown.
"You suspect my wife is involved in the fisherman's escapades?"
"I think it's a possibility," I said, and shrugged. "It wouldn't be the first time a member of the royal family has been caught up in some kind of bad business with the sect."
"That is ridiculous!"
the Duke exclaimed, and slammed his fists into the arms of his chair.
"Helmy would never be part of something so evil!"
I kept my gaze on the mermaid leader, who was completely frozen in her chair. She gripped the arms until her knuckles turned white, and her eyes were cast down to the sandy floor. Before I could push her any further, four mermen guards burst through the front door in a frenzy.
"Your Grace!"
one of them cried out.
"You and Lord Devon must come!"
"What is it, Lathan?"
Phineas asked, as he rose from his chair.
"The last group has returned,"
Lathan replied, and waved his hand frantically.
"Please, they have much to tell us."
We all swam out the door to the courtyard, where Aaliyah, Rebecca, and the two guards from their search party hovered outside.
"Lord Devon!"
Rebecca called out, and my lovers glided over to hug me.
"I have never seen anything like it."
"Like what, Rebecca?" I asked, and leaned back to look at their pale white faces. "What did you find?"
"We found the rift,"
Aaliyah gasped, and my heart skipped a beat before it began to pound inside my chest. Well, it seemed the interrogation would have to be continued later.